For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When Mayo was talking about the decision that he made, it stretches back to the entirety of since April. What have we seen? What's the toolbox look like? What's Jacoby able to do with the line of scrimmage? And there was an interesting aspect to the postgame yesterday. I think it was Stevenson said that he went to Jacoby Brissett and said, we got to run some gap runs. Start getting up the middle a little bit more. Jacoby Brissett went to Van Pelt and said that, look, I'm sure that Drake May could have done the same thing and transferred the knowledge, but Drake May's not ready to sit under center for 60 snaps either. So to me, it was invaluable to have a co-offensive coordinator on the field.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. You heard Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston last night discussing Jacoby Brissett. He also wrote that Sunday's stunning win over the Bengals was a triumph for the overlooked, lowly regarded, and too easily dismissed. And I'm thinking specifically of Alex Van Pelt and quarterback Jacoby Brissett. He said cast-offs, not has-beens, but never were, Keith. Not just omitted from any team's short list of an ideal quarterback and offensive coordinator combination, but not on the whole lot of long lists either. Sunday completely validated the Patriots' decision to hire Van Pelt, Jerod Mayo's decision to let him have free reign over the offense, and the decision to start Brissett and let Drake May marinate. That was one of his big takeaways from Sunday's game. And joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI is Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. Tommy Curran, why do you feel that the Patriots should feel validated on that decision? Why'd you feel compelled to write that?
Because they're 1-0 thanks to decision-making and efficient quarterback play and game planning and having an identity. And I think that having an older offensive coordinator who's been around the league, who understands what a first week of the season is going to look like, understands building from scratch, installing an offense that can be efficient, and then turning it over to somebody that he trusts, and then realizing that first win, it does validate. If it took 7 weeks, fellas, if it took 8 weeks, and we saw week after week of 34-3 and them not able to get out of their own way, then you say, well, yeah, you can't really say it's validated now. But to do it on the first week on the road against a good team, albeit a little dinged up, it is a slow starting team, but regardless, to surpass the expectations the way you did, it's really, you should holster your complaints about the direction or the decision, at least. Direction's a different conversation.
You know, Jerod Mayo said that the whole conversation about the offensive line has been overblown because one of the big talking points for maybe Jacoby Brissett starting and Drake May not starting was because of how bad the offensive line was. You know, we all watched the preseason games. You were down at all the practices. I know they looked pretty good in week one, but was it overblown or was there a time where the offensive line really was that bad?
Well, you know, it does get to a point where it's overblown when people are talking about, well, Drake May's going to get murdered. Jacoby Brissett's going to be, maimed. No, it's not going to happen that way because you can control, as Alex Van Pelt did, the nature of the game with your play calling, with the people you keep in. You can control it as a quarterback how often you get smashed by making good decisions. And he still took a pretty good bouncing around. So I think it was a little bit overblown in terms of the dire aspects of it. But look, I thought that they would get sacked 7 times. I said that kind of offhandedly and jokingly. And when I'm thinking about, like, they're never going to stand back there long enough to take 7 sacks. They'll hand it off before they're taking 7 sacks. So yeah, you can manage it. And I think it was overblown. It doesn't mean that they're, the Hogs. They're not going to shut anybody down. They're not San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But if you can play to your strength and stay ahead or within a score, then you can have it on your terms. If he had to drop back 35 times, it wouldn't have been pretty.
No,
that's true. And we've seen that in the past with Jacoby Brissett. I think he took 52 sacks way back in 2017 something like that. Tom, you're talking about the decision-making to bring in Mayo and empower Van Pelt. How about on the field? What stood out to you the most among the players in their performance against Cincinnati?
I think defensively they picked up right where they had left off in terms of being an unbelievably good tackling team. What also stood out to me relative to what we've seen in the past is their conditioning and their toughness. You know, they were not a disciplined team in either of the last 2 years by any stretch of the imagination. They were fairly situationally stupid. Astonishingly so, which would make all of us laugh every week when, you know, the C-list announcing crew would come in and there'd be a first penalty in the second snap of the game. And I go, well, that's not like a Bill Belichick team. He's like, yes, it is. So I think the that was eye-opening. And the fact that they, you know, really played very reminiscent of and 2000 to 2005 circa Patriots team. And they don't have a trademark on it that period of time. You know, the Bengals, Titans would play like that. But it was ball control. And see if you agree with this, former college football player or not, Rich.
Yes. Yeah, not me.
Organized. No, I know. But, you know.
No, I'm saying I've been around.
I'm making
it clear to the audience that I was not the college football player. That's all. Yeah.
But if you look at just the cogency of the offensive play calls, there was no like ridiculous jet motion sweep, pitch, throwback, double reverse screen, and sometimes it's going to call for that. But we used to see that a little bit in the last couple of years and go, who are you? What are you doing? What was that play supposed to accomplish? And I can't think of a single play, and that includes the downfield throw to Tyquan Thornton at the beginning of the second half, that didn't have a purpose. There was a purpose behind that throw. I didn't love it because you went three and out. But
no, it was.
It was a purpose, Rich.
Yeah, no, it was. And it felt like it was pretty straightforward. And even when you talk about the second half where Cincinnati knows what the Patriots are going to run, everybody in the stadium knows what they're going to run. They have a sixth offensive lineman in. They have two tight ends. They're going to run it. And they were still able to run it. So even though, you know, they only scored one touchdown, it was still an impressive offensive performance because of just how much they dominated the play. And, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, this is where I wanted to go with it, Tom. Stevenson had such a great game, 25 carries. He wanted the ball even more. And yet, if he does get 25 carries a game, that'll set an NFL record for most carries in a season. So I'm curious, how can this offense, or can this offense still be good enough, still be successful, if they don't give the ball to Stevenson that many times? Because that was really the key.
Yes, they can. They have to obviously get Antonio Gibson dusted off and comfortable. Kevin Harris is on the practice squad. There's going to be an occasion at which some point you're going to have a Ramondre Stevenson calf injury, hamstring injury. It's inevitable playing that position. He's probably not 100% today,
right,
although I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. But you can ride him. I mean, he can be a 250 carry player. So what's that? 17, 25, okay, all right, 20. That's still a lot. 17 times 20 is what, 340?
Yeah.
No, we don't know. Short answer, we don't know. But yeah, you're in the ballpark.
No, it is. It's 340, which is still, I mean, that would be up there. I mean, the most carries of all time. I was just looking this up.
Ton.
Larry Johnson.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, no, it was Larry Johnson had 416 carries in 2006 for the Chiefs. I mean, that is insane.
Wow.
Jamal Anderson had a bunch with the Dirty Birds when they went to the Super Bowl. A lot of Eric Dickerson. Pretty much every year with Eric Dickerson, he had a ton of carries.
Give him the rock.
But yeah, I mean, that's what they're talking about. Like they set a great tone, but really, besides that, there wasn't much going offensively for them.
No, but there was at least, look, there has to be a way to feature DeMario Douglas more than he was. There has to be a way to figure out how to get the ball to Jalen Polk. None of that happened, and I think that's probably, you sit down in the casino, you're fresh out of the shower, you just, okay, I'm going to play conservative here. I'm going to try and get ahead. All right, now I'm ahead. I'm going to try and stay ahead.
Yeah.
All right, let's go get dinner.
Yep.
So that was a lot of that.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, brought to you by FlexCar. And it's now time for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. You can ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. We saw Jacoby Brissett. We talked about the offense in that game. What now, Tom, is the plan for Drake May? I know Gerard Mayo doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to give details. There is a plan for Drake May. What's your understanding on what that is going forward, and how much time do the Patriots buy themselves with Jacoby Brissett with that week one win?
Yeah, Phil Perry reported during our pregame show that this past week, Drake May did get more than the normal number of reps that a backup quarterback would get in preparing for a team. And that's more of an orientation, a weekly orientation. So whereas you might say, okay, this guy's going to get 8 reps and Jacoby's going to get 14 or even more, 16 and 4, they're making sure that Drake May gets more reps during practices to see things and to develop. But I really do think that ideally, I really believe the Patriots would be quite happy to be 5-3 with Jacoby Brissett and be able to say, you know what? Drake can sit all year. Just get better. We'll cross that bridge when we need to with him. And I think that that would be their ideal. I think that they are fully committed to having him sit as long as flipping possible.
Well, so if Drake May is going to sit, the next guy they drafted was Jalen Polk. So if I'm not going to get Drake May, I at least going to see Jalen Polk. And he played a bunch of snaps, but you didn't notice him. He had one catch, and I know it wasn't much of a passing game, and let's be honest, it might not be much of a passing season, but what do you think of the wide receiver pecking order right now? KJ Osborne does very little for me. I know Booty was didn't play, and Baker was inactive, so are we going to see more of Polk, a little bit more of Pop Douglas, or is this just going to be a running attack?
They're going to have to get those guys involved, and I'm sure that that will be a priority to see those plays during this week where Jacoby, it's pointed out, you might have had Polk here, you might have had DeMario, and there was a play on actually the throw, I believe, that went to Polk. DeMario Douglas was coming underneath on a crosser, and he was even more open and had some space in front of him, but again, first week, first time, it doesn't surprise me that Jacoby Brissett likes, where's KJ Osborne? Because he knows exactly where he's supposed to be, and he's been in the league for 8 years. Where is Hunter Henry? Where's Austin Hooper? He's played in this offense, Cleveland and every place else. I'm going to throw it to those guys. But yeah, you're not going to draft these guys and ignore their development or the possibility of development. So I would imagine that's something that they will try and highlight and focus on.
You mentioned a 5-3 start. I think you're just spitballing there, but
Spitballing.
but that's fine. But I'll go out on a limb and say I think 3-0 is in play. I think Seattle's beatable. I didn't like what I saw out of the Jets last night. Like, how winnable are these games the next couple of weeks in your estimation?
Very. And I feel the same way. I just looking a little more closely at the Seattle game book and some of the details today as I get ready for quick slants at 6, that looked like a horrible game to watch. They took a safety on a holding in the end zone at the beginning of the game. Mm. They took 2 safeties. Neither team was over 33% on third down. Geno didn't have good numbers. Anyway, yes, they can definitely – Seattle's probably in the same general class as the Patriots, though more experienced. And then you have the Jets, who didn't wow me either. And the Patriots' defense will be a great equalizer, I think, every week they go out there. If it can, the games can stay close enough, you're still going to be in a position to, you know, not get out of your identity as an offense. What will be interesting is we saw a game-ending drive in which you're taking knees. The next step would be a game-ending drive in which you're behind and go ahead. And we've seen far too few of those in the past 6 years.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, obviously this is a really good defense is what the Patriots have, and you just wonder, is there kind of that magic number? Because the Patriots offense, we know, is going to have to score more than 16 every game, but is there one where you think the defense and Jerod Mayo say, all right, as long as the offense can get to this, then like then it's up to us as a defensive first team to come out with a win?
I felt like 17 is the number. I mean, honestly, last year I thought when Bill O'Brien was coming back and Mac was going to return to being what he was in 2021 and not realizing just how bad the Juju Smith-Schuster in for Jacoby Myers out was. I was like, you know, you should be able to with a straight face, get yourself to 24 points a game in the modern NFL. Well, they were 2 touchdowns short of that. So this year I'm reconfiguring to get to 17.3 points per game.
Got it.
And it's even more important to score this year because of there's one stiff quarterback that they see the entire year who qualifies as, okay, and that would be Will Levis. Mm-hmm. And he might not even be a stiff. I don't know.
Eh, he looks like it so far.
Yeah, he was pretty,
yeah, so far he
is. Pretty stiff-like in week one. Yeah.
Like
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's the upcoming schedule for the Patriots. Real quick, Tom, the text line wants to know, and I guess I didn't pick up on this. There are not has-beens, they were never worse. Is that that's a Mighty Ducks reference? Is that what that is?
No.
Oh, it's not.
Well, no, that doesn't fall in my.
That's when the coach
Q zone.
That's no. When the coach of the Hawks says it to Gordon Bombay. Got You're it. Not a has been.
You're never was.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's not what that was. Okay.
Why did that fall in my window?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Not in the current kids window either. No,
no,
it's a good sports flick.
Because they were, and you know what? I kept them away from hockey. I'll be candid.
Yep. Smart, expensive as hell.
I'm watching hockey. Next thing I know, I'm up at 4 a.m. Yep. at the rink.
Smart.
New skates every year. Oh,
it's a good move, Tom.
Disaster.
He's a smart man. You can check him out on Quick Slants. You can check him out all over NBC Sports Boston. And Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart and Christian Arcand. Tommy Curran, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, guys. Great fun.
Thank
Great
you, Tom.
Fun.
Always is.
Thanks to Tom.
Yeah, Gordon
Curran.
Bombay definitely was a what-if type of story. Like, what if he wasn't a booze bag?
Would
he have been a better player?
Yeah, well, somehow being a booze bag allowed him to coach a bunch of kids, which is a bit of a plot hole.
Yeah.
And then forced him to coach a bunch of kids.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But what he did later,
quack, mandated.
He could have went back to being a lawyer.
And he could have.
But chose the kids.
But then he went to the NHL after that? Is that what happened?
He got a tryout, got hurt.
Yeah.
He knew
Mike Modano, right?
Yeah, because the first one ended with him getting on the bus to go to the Miners.
And then he went right. And then he went from just coaching some Mites team to somehow coaching the United States in the Pan Am.
And
the
then
world.
They turn their back on America wear Ducks jerseys.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a good point.
Well, how else were they going to compete against Iceland? Hockey power Iceland.
It's a good
and then
point.
Maybe the worst
Gunnar Stahl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they were good.
And then Gordon Bombay was gonna hook up with that trainer on the other team or whatever she was.
Oh, I think everybody was going to hook up with Gordon Bombay. And then you fast forward to Mighty Ducks 3 where...
I don't think I made it to Mighty Ducks 3.
You didn't miss much.
Eden Hall won.
They were a wagon.
They
right?
what?
Eden Hall was the private school they went to.
Oh.
Where they couldn't make varsity.
They walked in. The whole Ducks team walked in as the JV squad.
They played JV. They couldn't make varsity. They were just in the world games. You have all these guys that are
like a regular Michael Jordan story.
And they couldn't do it.
And Gunnar Stahl came back as a different character in that one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Gunnar Stahl was had the Iceland accent in 2, and then was an Eden Hall goaltender, I believe, because he's trying to put the moves on Julie the Cat.
Oh, yeah. So I was just going to ask about Julie. So did Julie the Cat follow them to? She left Maine to go to prep school in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Or school in Minnesota.
Pretty much wherever it was.
Wow,
they couldn't crack the varsity lineup. You're like, this is unbelievable.
Did they bring all the kids from all over the United States? The whole team?
Yeah, Banksy. Yeah, they're
Keenan?
All there. Keenan. Yeah,
with his knuckle puck? They brought him?
Oh, well, how could you
say
not?
It with a question mark? Yeah. Says it with a question mark. Like, you wouldn't want the guy who shoots the knuckle puck.
No, he needed that guy there.
But I'm saying he hadn't gone on to Good Burger and things like that. He hadn't left the franchise.
This was still a Disney property. No, they had it probably under contract.
And then at the end of 3, Eden Hall, they were the Warriors. Guess what they were at the end? They became the Ducks.
Yeah.
So they turned their back on Eden Hall and the United
Ducks fly together.
Correct. Okay.
Ducks
they
fly
literally
together.
Turned their back on America.
Remember thinking the Flying V would work. Now, I never played hockey. I can't skate. But even like, playing soccer in like third grade, being like, what if we Flying V'd this thing down the field?
I kind of wanted to bring it to the basketball court.
Kick it around a little bit. Oh, yeah. Flying V it?
Yeah. Flying
who,
V that.
Who has the ball?
You don't know. You move it around. Yeah, exactly.
You move it around.
Person in the back.
That's the deal with the Flying V. You don't know who has the puck.
Yeah. I feel like if the guy at the front has the basketball, you just take it from him.
Yeah,
the two idiots behind each other.
Iceland barreled right through the Flying
V. They just smashed through it. Like if you're too big. Oh yeah, too big, too strong.
Yeah.
Iceland was.
Whatever happened to that coach? Because there's
Gordon Bombay.
No. The Hawks coach in the first one.
The dentist.
Real hateable guy.
Great hair, wet hair. Looks like he just swam to the rink.
Classic villain hair.
You're not. Oh, such a villain.
That guy. Yeah. Did you get out of the shower or did you slick that?
I don't know what he did, but he did make an appearance in the Cobra Kai series on Netflix.
Did he really?
Wow.
Yeah, so like the final season of Cobra Kai, they're trying to get in some worldwide tournament.
Of course.
Yeah. And he was like the head of it who got to choose which dojos.
Did he drop that line again? You're not a half-been, you're a never-was?
I don't think he did.
He's typecast, that guy.
Yeah.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, he's like constantly just trying to be like the good guy. He's like, no. Not with that wet hair. You're not.
Son of a bitch.
Not happening on my watch.
What's that look like? Dry. Like, I don't know. Never is.
Just talking about the hair, right? Point.
Could have been better.
So there you go. Not what Tom Curran was referencing.
Curran's got him 5-3, though, if you're paying. No, he doesn't.
Tom Curran says, take it to the bank. Pats are 5-3 after 8. Don't question it. So our thanks to Tommy Curran. Good stuff there.
You can ride him.
Oh, that's a replacements thing? Is that what they were saying?
That's replacements as well.
Oh, maybe it was.
Mighty Ducks was there first.
Yeah, when he told Shane Falco.
Yeah.
Who was in the Rose Bowl or the Orange Bowl? Sugar Bowl, right? Did he lose the Sugar Bowl
game?
I think he lost the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got like the yips.
That'll follow you around.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
No
doubt. It's a big bowl game like that?
No doubt.
A lot of eyeballs on that.
Right, hit on his boat.
617-779-7937. We have Kiefer Madness on the way at 12:45. Stay tuned for it. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. And we're right back with some thoughts on the Crafts. How much credit do they deserve for the Patriots 1-0 start? That's next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It was special. It was special. And, you know, I just want to thank, you know, the Kraft family, Robert, Jonathan, all of them, Danny, all those guys, Josh, just for the opportunity and really for not really, you know, getting in the middle of anything that we do football-wise. They've pretty much turned the keys over to Elliot and myself and the rest of the staff. And I'm just appreciative of the opportunity. And I'm glad that, you know, we came in here today and represented the Krafts in a good light.
Gerard Mayo. I want to give credit to the Krafts, all of them. Robert, Josh,
Line.
It is strange he didn't mention Jonathan. I don't really quite know what to make of it, but that's strange.
Yep. Noteworthy. Let's just jot that down.
Let me single out all the Krafts that didn't medal. Yep. Robert, Josh, end of scene. And so that's interesting. We can get into the Krafts and how much credit they deserve because Mayo singled them out, which may tell you something. They want some credit. Reese singled out their spending going into week one. So how much credit do they deserve? There's something I want to give them credit for, which we can get to coming up. Also coming up on Jones and Keefe, Kiefer Madness.
Yes.
Each and every Tuesday, 12:45.
Kind of a PSA of sorts today.
Is it any updates on the Portland Pooper? No.
The Porch Pooper? It's got nothing to do with the Porch Pooper.
Portland Pooper is a long-time callback. No, I'm sorry. The Porch Pooper in Louisville, it's not that?
This is just sort of a heads-up for anybody that, you know, it's a public service announcement.
Good.
For the people.
We like to hand those out from time to time.
Absolutely.
So don't miss that at 12:45. Here you go. This is a good...
What do you have?
It's a good win for the show, I think, Keith. 3-7, 93-7.
Okay.
Jones, I couldn't, and this is all caps, stand you.
Wow, that's a great... Three stands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rich, I always thought was cool.
I like this. Good guy. Let's move into the head of the line.
I thought you doomed Keith, but I gotta say now, I only kind of sort of dislike you.
That's a huge... He went from three stands to kind of sort of dislike
couldn't
you?
Couldn't stand you. Keith was always cool.
Yeah, obviously. We're only 2 weeks into the show. That's a good sign.
But now I only kind of sort of dislike you.
Just keep listening.
That's a win.
Keep listening. 2 more weeks. That's going to soften. 2 more weeks after that, soften. 2 more weeks after that, next thing you know, he's going to love the show. Yeah, and
he'll,
you.
He'll be going.
Already loves me.
Yeah. You'll go from cool to
the best ever.
I don't even know. Miles Davis.
Goat. Miles Davis.
Penis pants cool.
Yep.
Is what that'll be.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of texts as well. 37937 about.
All kind of similar.
About the coach in the Mighty Ducks?
So, sad update, guys, unfortunately, but we do have to pass this along. Coach of the Hawks.
Coach Riley, is that you looked this up?
Yeah, coach, let me just double check his name here. Okay. Coach Jack Riley.
There you go, yeah.
Who coached the Hawks, the opponent of the Ducks in the first one, goes by the name of Lane Smith. The actor Lane Smith, who sadly passed in 2005. He's been dead and buried for a long time.
It's quite some time.
Yeah, so that's sad. But I was stumbling upon this. The guy had himself a heck of a career.
The lawyer in My Cousin Vinny.
Okay, I guess I didn't. Yes. I didn't realize that. We got a bunch
the
of texts about
son-in-law.
That. So were you texting the show? Yeah, we got texts on. Billy's like, hey guys, by
just
the way,
come in here,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, seriously,
I have a microphone talk back button and the ability to walk into the
I wouldn't have pulled the son-in-law reference, but I'm a little ashamed of myself. I didn't realize that's the same guy who played the lawyer in My Cousin Vinny.
He also played
Bill's favorite movie, by the way.
Yep, very quotable. Yeah. He played Perry White in 84 episodes of Lois and Clark: The New Adventures of Superman, the Terry Hatcher Dean Cain vehicle.
Yes,
from the mid-90s. He was the Daily Planet boss.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of episodes. You could just retired off of that.
Yeah. Well, but this blows up our theory that he was always a villain because
Perry White, good guy.
My Cousin Vinny, bad. You know, the lawyer, not a good guy.
Yep.
Well, really, not maybe a good guy. I should take that back. But the adversary
just doing his job.
Yeah, right. But he's the adversary of Vinny. And so, okay. Well, I'm guessing if he's the father-in-law, in son-in-law.
In son-in-law, you know, at first, you know, hey, I don't know if I like my daughter with Pauly Shore.
You win him over.
But you win him over.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
You played Clyde Reagan in one episode of Kojak.
Nice. But it,
hard to say.
But this blows up our theory that he's always the villain.
No, he's not typecast.
Yeah, there you go.
He's dead, but he's not typecast. So we learned a lot about Lane Smith.
There's just nothing more of a villain move than he did in Mighty Ducks than when he just, like, popped the collar.
Oh, man.
Just tugged at the top of his collar.
You're never was.
And he's like this. And the fact that, like, he sees Bombay in the rink looking at the banners and goes, oh, I wish they could take down that one.
Yeah.
The one that they got the second place
banner. That's cold.
Jeez.
He was Jack Riley or Bud Kilmer? Who's worse?
Oh, no. Bud Kilmer. Bud Kilmer had...
Wait, who's Bud Kilmer?
The coach of Varsity Blues. He had no respect for the player's health.
No.
He was not looking out for the player's health.
He was dishing out shots left and right.
Shots for Lance Harbor cost him his career because they didn't have the technology that they do today. Lance Harbor was about to go to Florida State full ride.
Yeah.
Or was it Notre Dame? No, Florida State. Florida State full ride and was just shooting up his knee left and right. Didn't care. Get out there. Also, famously wouldn't give his running back, Wendell, touchdowns because of the color of his skin.
Shame.
So Bud Kilmer, way worse guy. Racist and didn't care about the kid's health.
Yeah, so does that answer that? So would you rather Bud Kilmer or Jack Riley? We'd rather Jack Riley.
The team rallied around Mox.
Yeah.
That was clear.
We don't know what Riley would have been if he coached high school kids.
This is true.
So Riley was just dealing with, you know, under 12-year-olds or whatever. So, you know, you can only be so much of an ass.
Good point.
Now if it's high school in Texas, it's lawless.
It is. All bets are off. You have full say. You can do whatever you want. The cops are in your pocket.
Stadium's named after you. There's a statue of you.
People love Kilmer. Yeah, it's not just mites.
The cops
Minnesota.
Are talking about like all the bad things the players are doing, and Kilmer's like, "My boy's too much for you," and the cops are like, "No, no, no."
Wangers on the glass at the Alano Club. Now I've heard of everything. I'm sorry, my boy's too tough. I'm like, no, coach, we just haven't seen that.
I had to Google it because in the beginning of the scene, the guy's pouring salt into his beer.
Is he really?
So apparently, I guess if you add salt, it makes it a little more
foam it up.
Makes it a little bubblier.
Yeah. No kidding.
What the hell is he doing? I was like, all right, Google
it. Little head on the beer. Never knew that?
No.
Yeah.
Salted?
A little salt in there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Flavor that up.
I know, like a margarita, you could salt the rim.
Sure, salt the rim, yeah.
Also, Billy Bob had like a significant number of concussions and
a lot
of conkies, and they just looked the other way.
Some would say he could use a guardian cap.
He could.
In retrospect, yeah, he could have. He
was good to go.
Bud Kilmer didn't care, though.
Nope.
Didn't care once.
Didn't bother him. But the range on this guy, the range he used to have up until 2005.
On Lane Smith.
Yeah, the range.
Late, great Lane
until
Smith.
2005. There was a lot of range there, though, playing a lot of.
Yeah.
We typecast him.
Played Danger Duke Robinson in one episode of Murphy Brown.
Wow.
It's a good sitcom.
That's back, isn't it?
Murphy Brown's back? Maybe.
I thought they
were
back.
I think he got like one of those Peacock reboots.
Ah.
Did it?
That's back.
That ran for 260 episodes.
Murphy Brown?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a show.
That was a great show.
That was back when...
Candace Bergen was great.
Back when shows were shows.
A woman reading the news? What?
Yeah. Not my news.
Okay. Well, speaking of typecast, we had the Patriots a little typecast this year, Keith.
Yes.
We were wrong about a lot of things. We were wrong about the Crafts. So they deserve some credit for their approach, their vision. Curran's ready to give it to them. How did he write it again? We got sidetracked by the Mighty Ducks.
Well, Lane Smith.
Non-reference, but he wrote that they are completely validated for their decision-making.
I feel like that's strong. I mean, I know we live in the moment. We got to react to what we just saw. I think it's a little strong. But they're 1-0 right off the rip. And so it was polarizing to move on from Bill Belichick. That was the really difficult decision. But even those that were okay moving on from Bill, I think were questioning the replacement process, how there was no interview. It was just handed to Gerard Mayo a year in advance and written into his contract. So you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you're replacing the greatest coach ever with a guy who's never been a coordinator, and now he's going to be the head coach, and you're not even interviewing anybody else. You're just throwing him in. That's where I was questioning things. With Alex Van Pelt, it was another one where, did you offer enough money to the guys you really wanted? Did you really not like any of these guys? Like, who was picking the coordinator? Because this did not seem like the first, second, or 12th choice that you landed on. And so for them to kind of scheme up a win week one, and for the team to look the way that they did. And it's funny because they started the game with a penalty. They couldn't line up correctly on the kickoff. And you're like, oh my God, like the first play after Belichick and it's already a penalty. But then after that, I know they had a couple penalties. It wasn't like it was like a clean
game.
But like they looked buttoned
up. Relatively clean after that. No, I agree.
Good. And so like that is a good sign with Mayo because he's not picking Verdarian Lowe and whoever else is like the offensive line. He's not picking even the quarterback. Like that's out of his head. He's literally just coaching what he's been given, and to find a way to win a game on the road against Cincinnati, like that definitely looks good for Kraft. Because think about it, if it went the other way, if they start the year 0-5 and they're getting smoked in every game,
yeah,
we're looking at it like, oh, this is the best guy you could have had. So I think it's a little strong to say like completely validated, but I mean they're 1-0.
So to me, completely validated is too strong. And I guess on the one hand, I get what Tom's saying. He's like, well, look, if it took him 7 weeks to have a performance like that, we'd feel differently. Now they have it; it buys them some time. I agree, it buys them some time. Fully validated. What if they get blown out 30-3 this weekend?
They could.
So I mean, they could.
I don't think they will, but like they could. But it's
I'm
all
not
on
forecasting
the table.
It. Yeah. I think they're going to go 3-0. So like I'm not forecasting it. It's possible if they overplayed or played above their heads last weekend, they might be due for a letdown. That happens all the time in the NFL too. So if that happens, it's fully validated, completely validated, please. So I don't completely validate the Mayo decision. You make a great point about the search or lack thereof. That should still be questioned. So I think all that's fair. And I don't give them credit on the spending like a lot of people want to do. Oh, they offered Ayuk the most. Oh, yeah. They're now middle of the pack in spending. They brought back all the Bills guys. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to give them full credit on that yet. What I will give them credit for, and I didn't agree with it at the time. I didn't like it at the time. I would have handled it differently. If I were the owner of the Patriots, I would have handled it like Jerry Jones, and I would have forced them to play the rookie quarterback and have my fingerprints all over it. I think they had their fingerprints all over the draft pick, and I think a lot of owners do. That doesn't make them unique. True. It just makes them like every other owner. They stayed out of the decision of who to start week one, and I bet that was hard for them. I bet that wasn't easy for Robert, Jonathan, whomever. I bet that wasn't easy. But I do give them credit for staying out of it, and the football guys made the decision. Who is that? Wolf, Van Pelt, McAdoo, Mayo, whomever. They made the decision, and they were right. And I'll give the Crafts the credit, and that's all I'll really give them credit for staying out of the way, not meddling, which Mayo singled them out for, and letting them pick their quarterback. I didn't think the Crafts would do it. I don't think I would have been capable of doing it, and I'll give them credit for that.
Well, and you know, even the quarterback decision might have been the Crafts wanting that, but I kind of feel like Elliott Wolf would have wanted that. Gerard Mayo probably would have wanted that. I think
you mean the draft pick.
The draft pick. Yeah. I feel like most would have said yes to that. It's not like you went way off the board trying to think. Remember the year that everybody thought Dallas was going to take Johnny Manziel?
Yeah.
Like that would have been the owner being like, take him, even though everybody's like, no, don't take him.
I think Stephen Jones talked Jerry out of taking
it. And they took Zach Martin. Yeah. They took a stud offensive lineman, mm-hmm. and that surprised a lot of people. But anyway, like this year, I think they might have all been in lockstep four. But it certainly would have been easy, especially with just all of the attention on the preseason and the anticipation for the regular season, where Brissett wasn't looking very good, seemed to have a pretty low ceiling. Everybody was screaming for Drake May, and they were able to ignore that. Because you could see, especially where it might be year one of the rebuild for Wolf and Mayo, it's year five for Kraft. Kraft's been the owner every game since Tom Brady has left here. And there's one playoff appearance to show for it where he got smoked by the Bills. So you could see Mayo and Wolf being more willing to be a little bit patient, where the owner saying, like, we got to get going. But no, he listened to the guys that he hired to this point.
Yeah. And so that I'll give him credit for. Twitch chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Free Mandela, 353.
What do you got?
Says, Jones, nobody cares about a always wrong guy giving out credit. That's fair.
Who's always wrong? You?
Me, yes.
Got it.
I'm always wrong, so what does it matter if I'm handing out credit?
Oh, so vis-a-vis, you're wrong about this.
Yeah, I'm wrong about this.
Got it.
No one cares about my wrong credit that I'm handing out. Fair enough.
Oh, Joe Alt take in the Twitch chat. Joe Alt. How did Joe Alt do this weekend?
No idea.
Yeah, me
they
neither.
Won.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
Probably better than Verdarian Lowe.
I don't know. Lowe's all right. Now, Okorafor, now you have a problem on your hands.
Better than Chooks.
Okorafor got benched.
Cheeks, as I like to. Cheeks Okorafor.
Might not see him again.
Playing like Cheeks out there.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Patriots, the Alex Van Pelt offense, the state of the AFC after Aaron Rodgers and the Jets didn't look so hot last night. AFC East, that is. But on the way next, each and every Tuesday at 1245, Kiefer Madness. Stay tuned.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
It's Kiefer Madness.
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams. I'm CEO and founder of Cosplayer Nation. We did a documentary all about cosplaying across America from Maine to Seattle to Hawaii to Puerto Rico. We've won 3 awards. We're practically compass to the cosplay community, as well as we interviewed the guy who coined the phrase cosplay from the 80s, Tokunishi Takahashi.
They said the perfect cut doesn't exist. I would argue that that right there is the perfect audio of all time. That is my guy, Joshua Adams.
Is that a one-on-one?
That was a one-on-one exclusive interview. Only the Dork Podcast had that at Boston Comic Con several years ago.
Yeah.
Still the greatest thing I've ever done.
What?
The guy is an absolute tour de force.
It's on your reel.
Yeah.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong.
Good advice.
You know what? That's not bad.
Also a crazy laugh.
What? Let me hear it again.
Even though we live in Massachusetts and it's kind of a Puritan town.
Yeah, it's a little crazy, yeah.
It's not bad. All right, it's time for the madness here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We go to the state of Virginia for this story.
Commonwealth.
Not a lot of Virginia stores. Is it a Commonwealth?
Oh, yeah.
Commonwealth. The great state of Virginia. Also a PSA, I think, for some listeners out here as well.
Okay. Check this one out. A lot of talk lately about the safe storage of guns, but an incident in Chesterfield is a prime example of what not to do.
All right, so it's hard to understand the guy. It sounds like he has stuff in his mouth. I don't know if he just had lunch or dinner or whatever it is, but he's talking about the safe storage of guns. So we're not here to talk about pro-gun, anti-gun. We're just talking about the safe storage of guns. If you already have guns, you need to store them safely.
This is what Jack Jones ran into.
Yes. Don't bring them to the airport. Here's one thing.
Yeah, don't bring them loose in a duffel bag. Like, make sure they're packed properly.
Stuff them in a bag. Yeah, go to Logan. Yeah. I'm not telling you how to live your life, but I am going to tell you not to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to have problems.
Let's not do that.
It's like when you French fry when you're supposed to pizza when you're skiing. You're going to have problems. So this is about the storage of guns. Let's say you have a whole bunch of guns. Maybe you have a rack. Maybe you put them on a rack.
Yep.
Maybe you have, like, a safe.
Yeah.
Put them in the safe. You don't tell the kids the safe code.
Probably the best place for them, yeah.
A gun safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check this one out. A lot of talk lately about the safe storage of guns, but an incident in Chesterfield is a prime example of what not to do.
Got it. So, Jones, this is what not to do with your guns.
So, this is not encouraging me on where to store them. This is where not to store them.
Specifically not to store them. So, it's more of like a longer list, perhaps, of where not to put the guns.
Okay.
Firefighters got a call to put...
I'm having a hard time with the guy's voice. Now, he might have a hard time with mine, but isn't it? It's...
Firefighters got...
He really kind of lays into it.
Yeah, there is a little bit of that going on.
He said... It's like he skipped the F in fire.
Firefighters.
Firefighters.
Yeah, I can hear that.
It's a little wrong emphasis in the syllable.
Firefighters got a call to put out a fire at a home last night, and the homeowner was saying that the oven had exploded.
Oh, boy.
The oven.
Like, I know where this is going.
Yeah, I think you might. At this point, we're talking about safe storage,
okay.
Firefighters,
yeah,
and an oven.
Firefighters opened the oven door, and lo and behold, there was a gun inside.
All right, so.
Oh, just one.
Just a gun.
I had put all of his guns in there. Just
in the
one.
Oven.
Yeah. Maybe.
Why the gun was there, still not clear, but someone put the gun in there and forgot about it and turned on the oven. The gun got too hot, and 5 rounds went off.
Wow. You heat up a gun. Anytime you put a gun in there, I don't know, it was at 425, 375, maybe it was making some chicken patties.
Yeah.
Frozen chicken patties.
You got to preheat it.
You got to preheat it.
You got to make sure you preheat it.
You walk around. Yeah. It take a while, right? You're trying to get that sucker up to 400. It might take a little while.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, man, I forgot to put my handgun in the oven.
Oh, man.
I put it in the oven. It's like, God, the oven's exploding. You didn't think.
Five rounds.
You know, loaded.
How's that going? Are those spaced out at all, or is that just...
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just shooting up his whole kitchen.
Pops them off real quick, I would think.
Firefighters got...
Firefighters, yeah.
Firefighters.
But yeah, so don't stick guns.
Firearm.
I'm not like a big gun guy, but I would feel like maybe common sense, but maybe perhaps it's not common sense.
Well,
I mean, don't put it in your oven.
I'd like to hear the backstory on this, because maybe it's like your wife nags you about the gun.
Classic wife.
Oh, it's just like, oh, you got your gun at the dinner table again. She comes home from work. You're like, oh, she's, where am I going to hide this thing? Good point. She's home.
Yep.
I don't want to put it on my person.
No.
She might hug me. But she probably loves me.
Well,
where do I hide this thing? I'm in a hurry. Oven.
Well,
and the next thing you know, she's just walking around the house. She's starting dinner.
Right.
You don't want to tell her about that. Oh, no. Honey, you're preheating the oven.
Kind of a terrible place to hide it, though. Like, if you're Harrison Butker, shouldn't your wife know exactly what's in the oven?
That's a good point.
So maybe
that's a good point.
Kind of the worst place to put the gun.
Where is she going to look?
Yep. Probably just the oven. She should know what's going on
Mommy's
there.
Mommy's favorite place in the house. That's a good point.
Harrison would say.
But it's like, oh, boy, you're sitting there, and you're like, what do I want to do? Do I want to start another fight?
No.
She's preheating the oven.
Yep.
Oh, nag. Or do I just take a risk that maybe
the
gun goes off in there?
Or maybe can we cook the pizza next to the gun?
Yeah.
And maybe just have a hot gun?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think necessarily that a hot gun would then just fire around.
Well, PSA, this is just in case anybody else didn't think that.
No, true.
Firefighters opened the oven door, and lo and behold, there was a gun inside.
Lo and behold.
Why the gun was there, still not clear, but someone...
Let's get to the bottom of that.
TBD, yeah, I'd like to...
Where's the investigative journalist on this?
Yeah.
Why was the gun in there? He's like, I don't know.
I think I'm onto something.
Forgot.
Somebody's getting chastised about their gun, just constantly carrying around the gun. Why you got the
Hold
gun?
Hold the gun, spinning under your finger at the table.
Cleaning your gun.
Yep.
Always spinning the gun. Somebody's just getting yelled at about that, and they wanted to avoid it, so they hit it somewhere.
Would you put it in the fridge? Would it be better off in the fridge? Or would you not be able to shoot it? Would it get too cold? I'm pretty naive when it comes to this stuff.
Gun's cold. Don't know.
Cold gun?
I don't think it'd be firing off.
No.
I don't think.
Freezer gun? Put the gun in the freezer?
Yeah.
Put the gun under your pillow, see if the gun fairy comes. Can you see anything? Maybe at night? A little gun fairy?
Gun fairy took my gun, but I got $20. I bet that's a loss. That's a big time loss, I'd imagine, on that.
Unless you found the gun.
Yeah.
Check this one out. A lot of talk lately about the safe storage of guns.
There is. They won't stop talking about it. It's the lead every night here.
But an incident in Chesterfield is a prime example of what not to do.
That's right. Don't do it.
Can't go anywhere without the discussion about
it. If you take one thing away from the show today, let it be don't put your gun in the oven.
Please don't.
And then preheat, whether you make it maybe like a spinach artichoke dip. I don't know what you were doing in the oven, but hard to say.
What's the proper temperature?
What's the last thing you made in the oven?
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 1,000%. No questions asked. Pizza.
Oh, pizza. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just say pizza. Chicken patties. I'm telling you, I got chicken patties on the brain. I love chicken patties. You don't like chicken patties?
No, I like chicken patties.
I love chicken patties.
I'm not a make a chicken patty, chicken dino nugs.
Dino nugs. Oh, we did nuggets the other night.
No, I'm not big on making them in the oven. Lucas, they're in the microwave. I'll make it in a minute.
Throw some fries in there.
20 minutes.
Fries in the oven.
Maybe.
Yeah, you can do that. Kids go wild for it. You don't have to get them in all the grease and stuff. It still tastes good.
I would prefer them out of the oven, but I don't think my kid even knows the difference. Microwave. You get dino nugs out of the microwave, not out of the oven.
Firefighters open the oven door.
I'm taking 20
behold.
Minutes.
Yeah.
20 minutes to make dino nugs?
Yeah.
No thanks. No.
There was a gun inside.
Yep. Lucas, here's your dino. Oh, my God.
I went to the proctologist yesterday, took an x-ray, and you know what?
There was a gun inside.
Okay.
Million to one, Doc.
Rich, we got to have a conversation about this because you're not going to believe it.
Yeah.
There was a gun inside.
I guess there could be worse places to hide your gun, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Trying to get through security.
Richard Lewis's nurse on Curb Your Enthusiasm with the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of storage.
There was a gun inside.
All right. There you go. There's the madness today. A little PSA. Be safe with your guns, please.
Yeah.
And let us know what you guys made in the oven recently.
Bang chicken, am I right?
Bang bang chicken. Thank you, Billy. Bang bang chicken.
All right, so that's a PSA.
Put the gun in there and forgot about it and turned on the oven. The gun got too hot and 5 rounds went off.
We're not telling you. You want guns? Keep your guns. That's fine. Just, you know, maybe not in the oven.
Right.
That's it. That's all we ask.
That's all. That's really...
I think we can reach across the aisle on that one.
I think so. I would hope so.
So there you go. That's it's Kiefer Madness each and every week at this time. Always stay on the alert for an emergency madness.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Matt and I will seek you out.
Uh-huh.
It absolutely will. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch. We can get back into the Alex Van Pelt offense. Feel any better about it? And is it sustainable? Running and winning on defense in 2024. That's next.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.